Hello and welcome to Leaning Into Light's featured interview for September 2019, Mailman Magic and the Power of Letters. I'm Jessica Rios, I'm the founder of Leaning Into Light, and these are our free monthly recordings to support you, our listeners, to lean into light. What does that mean? Leaning into light means to choose to face life's hurdles and challenges and recover from them as quickly as possible to a place of feeling well, to a place of forgiving, to a place of healing, to a place of feeling good, into the light. And this is one of the gifts that we give to support humanity, to lean into light. So please grab a pen. You can push pause if you need to and take notes so that if something resonates with you today in our conversation, you can write it down and bring it into your life. I would like to welcome our special guest for today, Sean Lanham. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Jess. Nice to be here on a Sunday morning.
Yes. So Sean Lanham has been working for the U.S. Postal Service for 33 years. He, for 30 years, has had the same postal route where my family and I actually moved just 1 year ago. You've been here much longer. Sean has been friends with his wife, Chris, since he was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Even with a job involving walking and climbing stairs to reach mailboxes on porches and old houses, you ride your bike to work. Just a beautiful soul, to put it in a few words. How we met, so yeah, I write letters, as you listeners may know, every day, and they go in my mailbox, and I don't really believe in karma, but suddenly this man walks up to be our mail deliverer with this literally a smile that's like the sun. That's one of the most refreshing and beautiful smiles I've ever seen. And I thought, wow, I really got it good when it comes to postal workers. So that's how we met, and I wanted to interview you, Sean, because you have a beauty about you that is, I believe, that is what humans are supposed to live in, what we all have, all of us, even the ones who show up mean, even people who are unloving, who are thieves, who are, I don't want to go into all the yucky stuff. We're all that beautiful inside, and you actually live in it in a way that shows up every time I see you. So I wanted to interview you because of that. And that's what I love to share with you listeners. So enjoy this conversation, and we will roll on here. So to dive in, Sean, I would love to know, what got you into working with the Postal Service?
You know, I never had a plan for my life. I admired folks in high school that already knew what they were going to do, go to college and what profession they were going to take. I never knew that. I went to when the Army and came out and still didn't know. And my brother, when I moved up here, my wife, Chris, and I had moved up here, my brother and I had a landscaping company. And one of our accounts was the Postal Service on the mail facility on Corona Road, a huge facility over there. And so I got to know some of the folks over there. So they sort of gave me the idea about taking that at that point. Yeah, this is back in 1985. You took a test in San Francisco and got on the list and stuff. So that happened, and I scored well and got hired in 1986 at that facility there. I actually went from mowing the yards to working on the machines over there as a clerk for 1 year. Mm. And then I came over to the west side of Petaluma in 1987 and started as a carrier. I changed crafts and became a letter carrier then. And then I was just on different routes for 2 years before I got my own route in 1989, and that's where I started on this route. So, yeah, so I just sort of fell into it, but it was after I got into it, I always was intrigued by the mail and wrote already, so that was a natural pairing there. And it's, yeah, I'm glad I fell into it. It's worked out well for me.
You wrote already, you said. You're talking about letters. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll dive into that. So, you know, people complain about the Postal Service. Well, humans, we complain about everything. I'd like to share a little bit, you know, Sean, and many listeners know that my family and I lived in Sweden for a year. And wow, I thought the Swedish Postal Service would be excellent. And sure enough, years ago, it was one of the best. It was actually considered the best in the world. No surprise to me. However, It did go, I think I could say semi-privatized. I'm not exactly sure, but it flopped big time. Now to where very reasonable people complain about it because letters get lost. It's a really different beast at this point. So that's unfortunate. However, I'm curious, you know, being in the Postal Service for 33 years, is there anything you find especially interesting that you could share with our listeners about any of the other postal services in the world that you know of?
I send a lot of international letters and get a lot of international letters. And then folks I talk to on my route will comment about, yes, we hear the complaints about the U.S. Postal Service, but other countries, it's just no comparison. They don't know. There's not the security. You don't just drop a letter in a collection can and expect it to be delivered as we do here. We take it for granted. And there's one lady written to me from Russia. It just cracked me up because she said the motto for the Russian Postal Service was "The world can wait," and that was just their point. Just, you know, they'll do their job at their own speed. You know, whereas we handle 50% of the mail still in the whole world. So we have to stay on top of it. And and just that fact alone means it's going to be a lot of little pieces of papers missed every day or missed sent. Yes. So that's, I think, has to be understandable. It frustrates me when I hear the mistakes and stuff, but I think in the overall picture, I think it's probably the best in the world.
Yeah.
Most efficient.
Well, and that is so cool because, you know, America is a country with many things that are challenging, many things that are beautiful. And I'm just so glad the letter carrying part of it is really excellent, you know, and it's cheap. I mean, you write a letter or a card to somebody, you fill it with, you can just write 3 sentences if you want. You pop 55 cents on it and off it goes, you know. It's actually an extraordinary postal service. And for many years, you know, I've probably written tens of thousands of letters in my life, and I don't know of one that's gotten lost. There's probably been one that's gotten lost, but that's an insanely positive record. So and you see postal workers, if you're listening from America, you know, USA, you see postal workers and they're just rushing on their route and they're doing their thing and they don't want to chat, and then occasionally you come across one like you who is willing to say hello in a way that is present and not rushed. And I just think at that moment, well, you must kind of have your deal down, because if you were in a hurry and you didn't know what you were up, you know, if you were behind on your job, you wouldn't be willing to stop and say hi. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I can work it in. I have to stay fast paced somewhere. I have a long route, but
yeah,
I can work it in. And even when I'm chatting for a minute or two, I'm computing what I have to do later on in the route, you know. But on this route, I have it down so well. I know where I have to be, but there's not a, they're pretty efficient. The Postal Service is efficient as far as making every route, the length of time before, by the time you punch in the morning and punch in the afternoon. So you definitely have to stay busy,
stay moving. Yeah. Well, you get your workout, that's for sure. So we learned one day when we were chatting that we both love to write letters and send letters in the mail. Like, really, really love it. We both are avid practitioners of letter writing, and that was a real delight to learn. Mm-hmm. What is it that you love about writing to people by hand?
I write the handwriting, yeah, specifically. I like that. I like the fluidity that comes from my brain to my hand and to the paper. I like that. I don't think you can necessarily get that through a computer or a typewriter or something. So I like that. That works well for me. The creativity flows that way. I like the abstractness of it. I'm old. I'm 61, and I'm old way of thinking. As far as I don't need things instantaneously like a lot of folks do now. So it's okay for me to throw a letter in a box. That's not going to get picked up for 8 hours. That's not going to go out till the next day. That's not going to get delivered for 2 or 3 days. And me not knowing, even when I can imagine it being delivered and opened, I don't know the reaction. I still like the abstractness of that, because I know what I put down on my feelings I put down And I have to believe that, you know, good will come of it. Good feelings will come of it. But I feel like I'm throwing little gifts through the mail. I feel especially when folks don't expect it, you know, they open up, they have the pile of mail, and here's this little handwritten letter from someone they know, or a family member, me or whatever. And for 10 seconds or for the rest of their life, that what you wrote there affected them. Yeah. You know, I have folks that tell me, oh, I have your card, you know, that you wrote me. It's still in my bookcase. Yes. I've had it there for years. You know, it's just something that I wrote to, you know, to help someone along, or to share my feelings or appreciation or something. So anyway, all that stuff I'm old fashioned, and I still get a lot out of that. It's really, I realized over the years that it's part of it's the artist. I'm trying not to be pretentious to call the artist in me, but I feel like I have a real urge to write all the time. Mm-hmm. And as much as I want to communicate to folks and to help them along or congratulate them or whatever reason I write, right. I also just have a feeling an urge to create, like a person would go and paint or write or create a sculpture or something. And I'm not of that level at all. But I've realized over the last 5 or 10 years that's a lot of it too, just that urge to put something on paper that, your feelings.
Yeah. As you talked, Sean, about the timing, you know, and you call it old fashioned, but you put a letter in the mail, 8 hours later, it gets picked up. 2 days later, it's delivered, blah, blah, blah. It's this slow timing. As you talked about it, what came into my mind was, have you ever heard the term biomimicry?
No.
So it's this, so for you and for listeners, it's for those of you who never heard of biomimicry, it's mimicking nature, because nature, meaning the non-human part of this living world, has been around for a long time and worked a lot of things out. And so there are very, very intelligent people and organizations like Janine Benyus and her people who work on mimicking nature in the way humans create, because, hey, good idea. Let's learn from something that's been around a long time. When you talk about the timing of your writing and the mail, to me, it sounds kind of like nature. Mm-hmm. A flower doesn't just open up and bloom and then be dead and then decompose all in one day. Mm-hmm. It happens at a more natural pace. And to me, who also, like you, loves to write letters, it's just more natural. It's so healthy. You put the pen down and the words come out healthfully. You can be with them. It's not, yeah. So mm-hmm. I love the way you describe that timing and the way you talk about the reaction or the response somebody has when they receive your letter. And sometimes they don't think of it much more than 10 seconds. And sometimes it's actually with them for a long time. And a letter can have that for just like less than $5. I mean, I don't mean to, for you and I, the money has nothing in the equation. However, for people who never write letters, just to consider, it's so cheap to send profound love through the mail to somebody in friendship and to an elder, to whoever. So I love what you share about that, how you share about it, your art. Can you share a story of an experience or a particular pen pal that's really touching for you?
My mom got us into writing, you know, writing my grandma and my great aunts. They were real influence on my brothers and sisters and I. So we had the mechanics of writing when we were young. And then two of my brothers went in the army in the early 70s. So the family was encouraged to write to them in Germany. Mm-hmm. And then when I went in the army in the late 70s, folks, you know, family did to me and friends at home, girls I knew, friends and stuff at home. And I always had the mechanics, but many letters I have held. After reading them, held them for a long time and just stared at them, you know, tears in my eyes, and did the same thing 5 days later when I reread them. Mm-hmm. Many letters hit me like that, I imagine folks have reacted the same way to some of my stuff, because so much is heartfelt when you're used to writing letters and expressing yourself that way. I remember my brother, Pat, my oldest sister, Linda's husband, she was separated from him. They were going to get divorced. We all loved him dearly, Bob. He was hit by a truck when Pat was over in Germany. Shook the whole family. Great man. I remember Pat's letter to me, and I remember him saying, "I wish I was home with you so we could cry together." Yeah. And he said that he wrote that a few times in that letter. And it just, even then, you know, I was 13, 14 or something. And it struck me how powerful, I knew how he was feeling and what we would get if he was home right then, right now. He was real close to Bob too. And I showed it to him a couple years ago. Of course, I've kept it. And so it was neat for us to go back and talk about someone we love so much. And then also, you know, I reminded him how important that was for me at that time to receive that piece of paper, those words on paper.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still, in this moment, how many years later?
Yeah, yeah, it's still, I can still think of it.
Has a strong impact for you.
Yeah, the whole letter, especially those lines, especially, yeah. It still does, and that's the beauty of it. And that's as opposed to email, communication is great. Communication, smoke signals or emails or letters are all great, but I am obviously predisposed to letters, but part of it is the tangibleness of it, you know, as I say, you can hold them and keep them in your drawer or pin them up on a wall or something. I had written a letter to folks moved on my route from Brooklyn less than a year ago, brought their nanny with them, sweet lady, and she passed away suddenly. I won't go into that. She passed away suddenly, and it was real, I can only imagine what the family and their two young children were feeling. So I wrote them a note the next day, wrote the family a note of condolence and said what I remember about Sabe and how I liked her and that was kind of concerned about them and felt something I strengthened about. And then Kenny, the husband, caught me a few days later and thanked me. And I said, yeah. And he says, no, really, Sean. He says, I have that card up on our mantle. So my kids can see where we moved to. So they can see what's around where we moved to. Not just Petaluma. It could happen anywhere. But it was neat. I think we do have something special in Petaluma and Sonoma County. And it was nice to realize that I'd helped his family just ease his way just a little bit. You know. Yeah. And that time I did get a little quicker reaction than but yeah, some of those things stay with me like that, you know.
Well, it's, you know, somebody once said to me, "You are a profound romantic," and I thought, what is he talking about? I didn't know what he meant, and I sat with it and I said, what do you? And then before I even asked him the question, I kind of got what he meant. And I think the same is true for you, and it means you're willing to show love really readily, openly, right now. You're not afraid to cry. You're a man and you're not afraid to cry. You're in the military and you're not afraid to cry. big deal, really, really big deal. And all of us want, I assert, to be willing and ready to openly share love that way, the way you did for the family who lost their nanny suddenly. And we're not all willing. We're afraid. There's so many reasons why we withhold love, and you don't. And it's again, it puts a skip in your step. It really makes you an extraordinary, you know, human to know. So thank you for sharing those stories and being that way. So on that note, you know, you do walk, and listeners are used to this, so I hope it doesn't make you blush too much, because I do openly express love, just like you do, not to put anyone on a pedestal. I once wrote an article called "Pedestals Aren't Meant for People." They're not, but love is meant for people, so where's the line, you know? Sean, you walk with a confident skip in your step. You really have stars in your eyes. You do. You have this beautiful glow of light in your eyes whenever I see you. Like you're lit up from within, like you're choosing to feel vibrant in life. It's a choice. It is a choice. One day, my daughter Helena and I were driving, and we looked over to the side of the road, and we saw a postal worker on a bike. And I said, wow, you know, and I said to Helena in the back seat, I said, look at those strong legs. Look at that mailman. Look at those strong legs, because we love bicycles too. And we got a little closer and I said, Helena, and I grabbed her from the front seat. It's Postman Sean. Look, look, look. And we were so happy. And I thought, oh my word, you're walking all day long. These houses mostly, largely have staircases going up to the porch. You're climbing all day long. And then you were on your bike. Oh my word. You know, how do I get some of that? How can I, you know, get motivated to live like that? How did you choose to live this way? Do you see it as a choice to be active, to be vibrant in your body, to live?
I think this does go together, the activity and the emotional thing. I think of course it's all about keeping yourself in balance, your body and your mind. So it makes sense to me that you would keep a healthy body and it would help you emotionally too. So yeah, I think that's helped me out as far as, you know, working out all these years and working out every day and stuff. It just puts me in a good space. I'm in a good space when by the time I get to work, I'm way ahead of most folks that have been up for a long time and done my workout and everything. So I really feel like I'm ready for the day. And a little bit, just nothing bragging or anything, but just for me personally, I just tell myself, way to go, Sean. Just a little thing like every day, just to, okay, you're doing good. You know, you're on a good track, you know. And then I move on to the more physical stuff, but also, of course, the interaction stuff that I have throughout the day. So, yeah, anyway, so I think that's a real balance that we should all hope for. Yeah. I mean, you know, we all... You know, ideally, you put a little time and effort into your vehicle every month, in your car, in your home, and everything. Mm-hmm. So it seems logical to put a half an hour or an hour into working out every day.
Taking care of your body too. Yeah. so much goodness. My mind just skipped from one thing to another. So here we are. Have you ever had a really negative experience while delivering mail? Have you ever been? I mean, I don't know what I could think of here, but what have you?
You know, it's such a nice town, and this part of town is the folks are just so pleasant every day. So it's almost all good. You know, you just the typical things that anyone would experience going through towns, and you know, bumping into people and issues and stuff. I had a dog. I'll tell a dog story. I've been fortunate. I got nipped by a dog a long, long time ago when it started. No big thing. But in 2015, I was over here on 7th Street. A dog was visiting, a bulldog. He was out the door and on me before I wasn't even fast enough to. He went to bite me. He bit into my can of pepper spray. I still have it with the puncture marks.
No.
Oh. It's amazing. Oh, I didn't even realize it had happened until after it happened. He lunged at me. He bit. He backed off right away, went away. I had all this red, orange stuff down my leg. I said, what is that? And it took me about 5 seconds to realize he bit in it. If he wouldn't have hit right there at that can, he would have bit right into my thigh.
Yeah.
And who knows what happened. So
wow.
It just turned into a great story. Now I have this big souvenir. this I picked up the can. It was all, the fluid was all out of it. So now I wrote the date and the badass boxer bit me. Yeah. Tried to bite me. So that would have been bad, but it turned out to be just a humorous story. I guess.
Very fortunate. Holy moly. Yeah, that's the one I had thought of. Maybe a dog bit you at some point, but no, got your pepper spray instead.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. Wow. My sister carries mail in the bottom. She's been bit probably 5 or 6 times. So she said it is definitely something that we're always concerned about in the postal service.
Yeah. Wow. And in life in general, you know, outside the postal service, what are some of your favorite ways to spend your time?
Oh, I'm just I'm a boring guy. I just, you know, I'm a real routine person. You know, I'm bed by 9. I get up super early. But I write every night, almost every night. I write to my family and friends, old army buddies and stuff. And I also belong to this thing called Post Crossing. It's sending postcards to the mail. So that's a real, I really enjoy that. And then reading, I read, I'm always into a book. And then just time with the family. I mean, that's my happiest time. I'm always looking home, forward to getting home. My wife, Chris, and our daughter, Fiona, is with us. And I'm looking forward to, that's when I feel real comfortable being around those guys, seeing what, how they did in the day and just being close to them till bedtime. So,
yeah.
And then the weekends are like that too, just to be with the family. And then I've been more cognizant over the last 5 years, 10 years about putting myself out there as opposed to being a homebody all the time. So I'm doing better as far as visiting friends on my days off, putting more of my time out, not being so selfish with my time. So that's what I'll do on my days off also. Mm-hmm. I play ping pong too. I play ping pong once a week too. So.
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
That's my hobby.
I love it. I bet you're good at that. you know, one question just popped in, and this is, have you been awarded by the Postal Service? Have they noticed? Do they know what they have in you? And have they acknowledged you for that? Or are they waiting until you tell them you're going to quit or you're, you know, ready to retire?
No, they used to give out these things called special achievement awards, monetary. And then I got that a few times. The folks that they were starting said, oh, we should start calling that the Sean Lanham Award. But they stopped that doing that. But no, they'll do like gift cards now, but they don't do the awards and stuff anymore, but I've always been it's always been real clear with me, with my supervisors, postmaster, and my coworkers, how I'm appreciated, and other folks in the post office. So I don't think everyone gets it as clearly as me. I think they could, you know, obviously they could do better. A lot of workplaces could do that about just simple, we appreciate what you're doing. But in my case, I think they're very, I really appreciate, I know I'm, yes, I do know I'm valued. My supervisors let me know, and my coworkers always drive me about stuff. So
Yes. And when I have gotten into conversations just a couple times with other postal workers and mentioned you, I mean, they just, blah, 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 oh, Sean. And it's just like, wow, you really like him too, huh? And they mention how you will point things out, how you will say, hey, we can do this better. You're not afraid to do that. And I imagine, I mean, how many postal offices are there in the United States? I mean, tens of thousands.
Just right every town,
Yeah. I imagine there may be people out there. So to all you postal workers, if there are any other postal workers listening, thank you deep, deep down for the deliveries you make, for the sorting you do, for the selling stamps you do, all the things you do to help our postal service be so excellent. And, you know, Sean, people say, I don't know how you feel about this. Sometimes people say, oh, the art of writing a letter in the mail, it's dead. And I think, are you joking? I mean, it's totally not dead. What? People write all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of people write. And letter writing is absolutely not dead. And it's a very, very rewarding thing to do.
Yeah, and even if you don't send it through the mail, just the fact of writing something down and putting a note on someone's desk, or your lover, or your child, or a friend, just that, that's even more important. I think just the fact that we can, ideally, you're skilled or have enough feelings inside you that you can transmit that to paper and hand it to someone, whether it goes to the mail. It's the biggest thing, but just, I think that's the big thing that we can still communicate like that, because it is such a permanent way of communicating.
Yeah. Yeah. A letter. I mean, there's one thing I could take to a deserted island. It's my cards. Yeah, it's just, that's the thing that, electronic photos, not so easy to transport. So Sean, for all the people listening who haven't yet found the will to choose to enjoy themselves at work, even if they like have the dumbest job we could think of, which what would that be, right? But we can choose to enjoy ourselves at work. For all the people who haven't yet found that, what are some words you can offer to them to help them motivate themselves to feel good at work?
Yeah, that's, I think about that, because I enjoy my work. It's stressful, it's physical. You know, there's sometimes I'd rather be home kicking back, but I get a lot out of it, but I realize that I have that type of job that you can find that. I realize there's a lot of jobs that are monotonous, or there's no satisfaction, there's no encouragement from up above, you know. So I understand that makes it harder. I have it easier than other folks as far as making my workday enjoyable or interesting. But I think, I think a lot of it just has to do with you're spending that time. You're spending 8 hours a day, or no matter what. So there's folks I worked in the past that were the total opposite, just downers all the time, complaining. And I'm thinking, I'd rather not do it. I'd rather not spend 8 hours being depressed or complaining about management or complaining about my job and hating what I'm doing. You know, I empathize with folks that just don't have a choice. They have to stick with that job or they can't afford to move on. I empathize with that, but I still feel that there's things you can do to make it more interesting, you know, and see the good in or out. You know, there was a carer, one of our great carers, he quit for a year. He went to go to school, and he came back after a year, and I was welcoming back and congratulating on the work he'd done, but he decided to come back. But I reminded him, I said, you know, there's a whole lot more we do out there, and not just postal workers, but a lot of occupations. There's a whole lot more we do out there than just, in our case, delivering mail. You know, I wanted to impress upon him that how important he is, his work, mm-hmm. how important this work can be, even though what he was shooting for was a higher aspiration. I admire that about him. But I wanted to remind him what we can do as letter carriers or a cop or a librarian or whatever you do when you're dealing with people face-to-face, you can help them along, you know, you can ease their way. You know, there's little things that we do. I mean, just, I say hi to people. I mean, there's some folks that probably I'm the only one they say hi to all day, you know, and stuff like that. We all can do that. And I think you have to reach for it. And it's more difficult with other different situations, different jobs. I realize that, but I still feel like there's little things you can do that can make your day, your work day more important to do just that what you're doing, mm-hmm. and along with it, bring yourself more satisfaction too, instead of just, you know, focusing on that.
Plugging along. Yeah. It is a choice. And there's, before we close our conversation, I have something I noticed that you said here today that I want to acknowledge in you and highlight for listeners, because it's very powerful. And so there are 4 types of acknowledgement. There's voluntary acknowledgement. Sean, you're a nice friend. Thank you for being my friend. I really like you. There's requested acknowledgement. Sean, will you acknowledge me for this or that? A little awkward, but there's a seedling acknowledgement, like a child who just started banging on the piano keys and you say, you are amazing at playing the piano. But suddenly when we grow up, we stop that. Mm-hmm. Seedling acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And the last kind, which is unpopular in our culture and very, very important and a real sign of emotional maturity, is something that you did here in our conversation today, and that is self-acknowledgement. And you prefaced it, because it's, you know, makes sense to preface it. You said, I don't want to sound, you know, vain or brag, but I do tell myself every day, you said, you're doing a good job. You're really plugging in here and you're really doing good work. That is powerful stuff. It's called self-acknowledgement. And we're taught, oh, don't do that. Mm-hmm. You're bragging and you're vain and you think you're, well, it's actually really, really important and very powerful, because as my coach says, if you walk out your front door in the morning with your tank half full, don't expect the world to fill it up for you. Fill it up yourself.
Wow.
And then walk out that door.
Yeah.
And one of the best ways you can do it, take a piece of paper, listeners, put it up on your wall, tape it to your mirror in the bathroom, and write down 3 acknowledgments every morning. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge myself for taking good care of my teeth. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge myself for feeding my child healthy food. I acknowledge myself for getting a full night's sleep. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, when you acknowledge yourself, it's really powerful. So thank you for embodying that. Mm-hmm. I hear that feeds you as you go about doing your work as a postal worker, and just deep, profound respect for you, for who you are, for how you roll, and for helping our Postal Service to be such a such an awesome entity. I'm so grateful to live in this country for that. So, thank you for being with us today, Sean.
Thank you, Jess. It's a pleasure.
And listeners, I thank you so much for being with us here today with Sean to hear about letters and the Postal Service, and coming back to it with with this work. This is a gift to you, to support you in life, to lean into light, to choose to enjoy your life, to choose to feel good as much as you can. It is not easy. These are very, very intense times with extraordinary challenge and sadness. And you do have a choice every moment. I have a choice every moment. We can support each other with that. I do thank you so much for being here. And if you enjoyed this conversation, you can share it with somebody else who may benefit from hearing. Maybe it's somebody who really despises their job and they're trying to get out of it. And meanwhile, they can use a little uplift about it, or somebody who you think might enjoy writing letters and they don't do it yet, or somebody who wrote you a letter once and you loved it. So these are all on our website, my blog at leaningintolight.com, on our conversations page. We're not on social media. I do take long breaks. So please sign up for our newsletter, again, at leaningintolight.com. And thank you so much for being here. Thank you for everything you do to take care of yourself and others in this one precious life you've got. Bye for now.